All right, praise God. Happy Mother's Day, ladies. This is Sunday morning. This is May the 13th. I'm going to do a teaching first. This is called The War of the Worlds. Government takeover. War of the Worlds, government takeover. All right, let's turn to 2 Samuel. I'd say those in Gideon's day, they were the 300 were the deplorables probably. All right, 2 Samuel 3, verse 1. There was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. I think we looked at last time about whenever David was in the cave of Adullam, and he was at the low part in his life. I mean, he was below. He had no place to go, no home. He's in a cave. It said his family showed up and these men showed up and they were in distress and in debt. And so they became his mighty men. There was 400 of them became the mighty men. And then later they became 600. But they did exploits for God. And we looked into the things that they did supernaturally. But continuing on, when David received the throne, his house began to be stronger because he followed the Lord. And the house of Saul, which was the house of the flesh, someone that said they obeyed God, but in essence all they did was what they thought was right. He had fear of man. He let the people dictate to him how he reacted in situations instead of following the Lord wholly. So the Lord totally rejected him. And it's the same way with us today. If we are going to walk in the flesh, then we just better walk in the flesh, because we are not going to be a mighty man or walk in the Spirit if we don't walk in the Spirit, if we don't follow the Spirit. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. There's no two ways about it. You know, there's a lot of mixture in the church. And, you know, we know how the world is. That goes without saying. They don't know anything different. But in the church, most people have so much mixture in their life, they never see God do anything in their lives. Does he not want to? No, he wants to. But he has a different kingdom. And this kingdom, it's like if I went to China as an ambassador, I would have to adapt to Chinese ways, Chinese laws. I probably have to learn the Chinese language, Mandarin or whatever it is they speak. I'd have to learn their ways so that I could motivate, communicate, influence that culture that I was in. Well, this is the way it is in the kingdom of God. Most people don't understand that. They think, well, I believe in God for things, but God just doesn't hear and he doesn't answer. But, you know, it's like turning on trying to listen on the AM frequency and God's on FM. And so walking in the Spirit is just his way. It's his modus operandi. It's by the Spirit. And we have to learn to tune into that. And he tells us in the Word, what are we to do about it? Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, stop being conformed to the world and adapted to its customs and its ways, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by its new ideas and new attitudes, so that you can know God's will. His overall will, general will, and his defined, specific will for you. So he has a specific, defined plan for you that nobody else can walk. And so this is how you come to know, is by renewing your mind, where you quit walking by the flesh and you start walking in the Spirit. Isn't that what the Lord's been saying this morning already? It's just a different kind of walking, a different way. That's why when those people heard, eat my flesh and drink my blood, what was he talking about? Salvation. they didn't have any comprehension of what he was talking about, so they just rejected him and went about their way. And there'll be people that do that here because they don't understand, because they're so conformed to the world, which the church is very conformed to the world. And so they think so naturally that they make the world's ways God. Medicine is one of them. It's not a, you know, they don't take it that by his stripes I was healed. Where do you miss the fact that he says it's already done, you know? No, they've been sold a bill of goods because the church quit taking the message of healing, which is part of salvation. That's why Jesus, he preached the word, he taught the word, and he healed the sick. This is the calling card of the kingdom of God. If you've been listening to my TV broadcast, I've been talking about God's healing is his calling card. That's how Jesus, it was like a taste of, it's like you leave a gift for somebody. It's like a something good. It's the good news. So if you're sick and you get well, see, I can't think of any other thing that would touch a person's life, because even money can't buy health. So God uses that as a place card of the kingdom of God. It's healing. In heaven, they live in perpetual youth renewal. And so I believe we can live that way on earth. I believe the scriptures bear that out, that we can. Well, whenever we take the gospel, then we take healing. It's part of the gospel. He told the disciples to do what he did. Who are the disciples? We are. He said, take it into all the world. Take it into your culture. And with me, that has usually been the thing that connects me with a person, is I can tell them that God's healed me and how I did it. And would they be open to it? Or, you know, and I can give them mini books or whatever. Because I don't know anybody that's not either so broke they can't pay attention, or they are just, which that's financial sickness, it's still sickness, that they're looking for hope, they're looking for anything, they're looking for a lifeline. And see, that's how we reach people. We meet their need first. We're not going there saying, well, if you don't stop doing that, you're going to go to hell. You know, that's not going to win anybody. That's not going to win anybody. But nonetheless, this is a different kingdom, and we have to learn kingdom ways. And that's what Jesus did. That's what John heralded. The kingdom of God is at hand. Change your attitude. Change your mind. What did he mean by saying that? He said, learn God's ways. This kingdom is going to show you who God is through this man. You're going to learn about this kingdom through this man. And he was the forerunner saying, he's coming. He's coming. The one that's going to show you about God. It's going to reconnect you with God. In Luke 4, he said, I'm here to proclaim liberty. The year of Jubilee. Everything that's broken or missing in your life will be restored through salvation. Thank God we don't have to be like the Jews and wait every 50 years to have Jubilee. We walk in Jubilee. That's what salvation is. It literally means you have no place in your life that is lacking. I call Jesus the great equalizer. There used to be a show, I was in high school, I think, when it came out, called The Equalizer. Anybody remember that? They'd hire him to come in and level the playing field. Well, that's what he told John. John said, all these valleys are going to be lifted up. The high places will be brought down. In other words, it's going to be a level playing field. And see, that's what God does for us through salvation, because in the world, you get beat up. You get taken advantage of. You get knocked around in the world. It's not fair. But here comes Jesus and said, don't get mad at them. I'll fill in the blanks. I'll level up the hollows. I'll bring down the high places. I'll make a highway to the Lord. See, it's dependent on the kingdom that you choose to live from. And because people don't understand that, they try to live in both, and it just will not work. So that's our objective here, and especially with this teaching this morning, what the Lord has said, is learning to be like those in Hebrews that subdued kingdoms, overthrew governments. They made a difference in their world because they were people of faith. By faith. Go read the Faith Hall of Fame. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. There wasn't anything done in that chapter that wasn't by faith. So that's how we walk. Okay. This is huge, like our president would say. Y-U-G-E. Huge. This is huge. Learning to walk by faith. Walk in the Spirit. Same thing. Okay. Galatians 4. I've got a lot today. I got so much to share today, but that's no different than any other Sunday. This is Galatians 4:22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondmaid and one by the free woman. But whereas the child of the slave woman was born according to the flesh and had an ordinary birth, the son of the free woman was born in fulfillment of the promise. Salvation. All right. Now all of this is an allegory. These two women represent two covenants. One covenant originated from Mount Sinai where the law was given and bears children destined for slavery. This is Hagar. This is the life without God. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia, and she corresponds to and belongs in the same category with the present Jerusalem. For she is in bondage together with her children. But the Jerusalem above, the Messianic kingdom of Christ, is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, let me just put this in, the Catholic Church is not our mother. That's what the ecumenical movement says. You know, wayward daughters come home to the mother church. No, this is our mother, freedom in Christ Jesus. But the Jerusalem above, the Messianic kingdom of God, is free, and she is our mother. For it is written in the scripture, rejoice, O barren woman, who has not given birth to children. In other words, they have not stepped out of walking in faith and just done things in the flesh. Rejoice that you haven't done that. Break forth into a joyful shout, you who are not feeling the birth pangs. You're not having to reap the crutch you've sown. For the desolate woman has many more children than she who has a husband. How many of you know when you do your own thing, it adds sorrow with it? When the Lord maketh rich, he hath no sorrow with it. When we step out on our own, all that comes with it is grief. For it is written, the scriptures, rejoice, O barren woman who has not given birth to children, break forth into a joyful shout. You are not feeling birth pangs, for the desolate woman has many more children than she who has a husband. That means only the birth of his plans are few and far between. Unfortunately. But we, brethren, are children, not by physical descent, as was Ishmael, but like Isaac, born in virtue of promise. Yet just as at that time the child of ordinary birth, born according to the flesh, despised and persecuted him who was born remarkably according to the promise and the working of the Holy Spirit, so it is now also. But what does the scripture say? Cast out and send away the slave woman and her son, for never shall the son of the slave woman be heir and share the inheritance with the son of the free woman. So God's not going to bless your plan. He can't do it. Did he love Abraham? Did he promise him over and over for a son? Okay, what was the problem? He kept trying to do it himself. And this is the reason that it took so long, 25 years, because he just kept, here we go around the mountain, here we go around the mountain, here we go around the mountain. God wasn't withholding. Abraham was causing the from them coming forth. He was the problem. His mindsets. So, brethren, we who are born again are not children of a slave woman, the natural, but of the free, the supernatural. All right, now, 5:1 to me is the key to all of this. In this freedom, Christ has made us free. Walking in the Spirit is freedom. And completely liberated us. Stand fast then, and be not hampered and held ensnared, and submit again to a yoke of slavery which you once put off. So he's saying, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's saying the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Don't go back under the slavery that you were under, walking in your own way, doing your own thing, and reaping your own from your own bad decisions. That's what he's saying. Hold fast to following me. But we have a tempter that'll come, and he tries to get you to reason. Well, God's word says this, and that's what I'm standing on. And then he comes to you and says, hath God said? Same thing he did to Eve. He'll never change his tactic. He doesn't have anything new. Have you ever wondered why, with you, it's always the same old track? Back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. It's just like the liberals in this country and the propaganda machine. They won't get off the fact that Trump didn't collude with Russia, even though they've proven. Even the Five Eyes had no intel coming out of other countries for them to even open a case. But this is their tactics. This is that communistic, socialistic, Saul Alinsky type thing that if they can just hit you with it enough, you'll finally crumble. That's the devil's tactic because they're of the devil. That's Satan's way, and he does it to every person on the planet, whether they realize it or not. All right, let's keep going. Verse 16, but I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Let's pause it for her. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh of human nature without God. You know, I know a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, the Lord spoke to me one morning and said, if people can get to where they don't give into the flesh, they'll begin to see quick answers to prayer. The reason why we decree things and they take a long time to manifest is a lot of time we go back and forth with it. We get double-minded. We get into the flesh for a while, then we get back in where we need to be. That's what happened with Abraham. Yeah, he took the promise of God. Next thing you know, here Sarah has a brainstorm. You know, this is what happens. And so if we can get to where we absolutely just hear the Lord and we not let the devil get us off into the flesh, we'll see quicker manifestations of things. We won't deal with things for years and years and years and wonder how in the world is this ever going to work out. Okay. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit. You see that here. And the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh. That's why he says you can't serve two masters. Pick today. Are you going to hang with the flesh or are you going to go with the Spirit? Because you're not going to get anything done. Nothing's going to be accomplished until you do. They're opposed to the flesh, godless human nature, for these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you're not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. But if you're guided, led by the Holy Spirit, you're not subject to the law. Now the doings, practices of the flesh are clear, obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency. Now, I'll just say this straight out. If you want to walk in the Spirit, you better not be sinning. You better not be sinning. There better be things clear. And I'm not talking about God sometimes will reveal things when he's, you know, cleaning house in our lives. He'll reveal things to us. And as soon as we know about it, we repent and we get on with our lives. But if you're openly sinning, forget it. Okay? But if you are guided, led by the Holy Spirit, you're not subject to the law. Now the doings, practices of the flesh are clear, obvious. They're immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, ill temper, selfishness, divisions, dissensions, party spirit, factions, sex with peculiar opinions, heresies, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this morning earlier, the Lord spoke something to me. He said, warn your people that to avoid places and things and company that would cause you to go south. Avoid them. Shun the very appearance of evil. I'm telling you. The Lord's saying this because you know how Satan works. Avoid it. Run. Forrest, run. If something, you get yourself in a situation that could cause you to hook up with somebody or do things that you wouldn't normally do because of that persuasion, run. Okay. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, an even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such things there is no law that can bring a charge. Now, what is He saying? You need to develop these? No, I think we've been taught that way, that we need to develop these things in our lives. This is the work of the Holy Ghost within us, and when we walk in the Spirit, these things grow. They begin to get bigger in us. They begin to be predominant and take over us. It's not something we strive to have more love or we strive to have more patience. No, we can't do it. That's why we need a helper. This is the Holy Spirit's work in us. I remember it's been a couple of years ago on a Sunday morning, may have been nearly 3 years ago, I was talking about the love of God, the fruit of the Spirit, and it just come up out of me. It isn't your love. It's my love in you. Quit trying to strain to have more love for people and do the right things. This is the work which the presence of the Holy Spirit within does in you. And as you walk in the Spirit, it comes out automatically. It's a supernatural love that humans know nothing about. It's by the Spirit. It's not human love. This is God's love, for God so loved the world, that kind of love. You can never attain to that love in yourself, ever. Not in yourself. But as you walk in the Spirit, these supernatural things take over in your life. They're like warfare. They're like empowerment. See, as we walk in the Spirit, these things will come up in us for other people. You know, Jesus had compassion. I believe it was the work of the Holy Spirit within Him rose up in Him. He was a man just like we are. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward, walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. Do you see that? This work of the Holy Ghost within you will control you. Control the way you act. Control the way you present yourself to people. Everything in the work of God, it will control you. Not you striving to be better. It's never been about you. It's never been about one iota of anything to try to change yourself. Come on, you got to get this today. Religion dictates you work at it. Well, if I confess enough, if I pray enough, if I fast enough, if I give enough. These are all wrong motives. It's not about us. Don't you get it? It's completely the grace of God. It does it all. The only thing He asked us to is believe Him and be willing to let Him come in and do the work in us. That means quit berating yourself. Quit jumping on yourself, making yourself feel bad. I missed it so much, and I have this. Who cares? Forgiven. Forgiven. The slate's clean. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. The slate is clean. Who cares? Jesus paid for it. There's not anything that anybody's done that's sitting here today that hasn't been paid for by the blood of Jesus. And there's no loss of grace that can't cover your situation. Why don't you just give yourselves a royal break today? And just let Him do it in you. Quit trying to perform. And let's not become vainglorious and self-conceited, competitive and challenging and broken and irritating one another, envying and being jealous of one another. See, there's that competition I'm talking about. This isn't a competition. In so much time in the church, that's the way it is. My ministry is bigger than your ministry. Ha, 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 ha. We're all of one flesh and one blood. We're all of the same body. We're all got one goal, is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in this earth. It's not about us. We're dead and our lives are hid with Christ and God. We're just here about the Master's business. Great if you have a big ministry. Wonderful. But I'm not going to be rewarded by how big my ministry is. I'm going to be rewarded based on, did I do what the Master asked of me? If He gives me 3 and I'm a success with 3, that's 100%. How do you gear success? The world gears it by how many, how much money. Well, you know, you've only got 3 over there. Nothing's changed in 15 years. That couldn't be God. Come on, this is that religious spirit the Lord was bringing out this morning, that word. See, a lot of people miss it because of what they see. But you can't do that. You have to go by what's in here. But if I'm a success with 3, and as far as the Lord's concerned, He said, I am never going to get on to you about what I've not asked you to do. Never. If we don't make it out there before He comes, it's not even going to be on the table. Now, who much is given, much is required. But if it's not been required of you yet, you're not going to be judged for what you didn't do. It's this little stuff that He's trying to get you to get faithful in that He is concerned about. Because He knows if He can get this done in you and you get to walk in this way, then He can trust you with bigger. See? Okay. He who is faithful in little will also be faithful in much. He who is unfaithful in little will also be unfaithful in much. See, the children of Israel wanted to go in, but He couldn't even get them to get the manna right. A little bitty thing. Don't gather and leave it left over. And they did. It's like everything they did. He wanted to take them the 11-day journey right into the promised land. You know what would have happened? They'd have all been killed. They were wanting to hurry up and attain this and hurry up and attain that. Well, you know what? You've got to learn the basics in any walk of life you're in. I don't care what it is, whether it be elementary school, a job, or whatever. You've got to learn the foundations, the basics of things before you can go on. All right. We tie God's hands when we follow our plans. We play into Satan's hands. Man, oh man. We do. Okay, Galatians 6, this is 7. It says here, do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow Himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions, or by His precepts being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. For he sows to his own flesh, his lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. But he sows to the Spirit, will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right, for in due time and at the appointed season we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. So he's telling you there in black and white, that. If you walk in the Spirit, you're going to receive the benefits of the Spirit. If you walk in the flesh, you're going to receive the benefits of the flesh. Isn't that what I just read in Galatians? Be ready to take your place in your grace to take the land. There's going to be vacancies all over the country. Pray that the virgins have awakened and trimmed their lamps and have enough oil to complete the work. That's Matthew 25 talking about the virgins awakening, trimming their lamps. This should be our prayer for the body of Christ along with the Lord's Prayer. What is Jesus talking about here? The kingdom's coming. How is it coming? Okay, we're going to look at the life of Jesus, just a few scriptures here. We get a picture. All right, the first one's in Luke 4. But he said to them, I must preach the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God to the other cities and towns also, for I was sent for this purpose. So Jesus was here to preach the kingdom of God. He had an assignment, and he stuck with that assignment. Okay. This is Luke 12:32. It says, do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus said, this is Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is inside of you. This is that transfer of government. You bought with a price. You're no longer your own. You're being transferred out of that covenant. I think this is in Philippians. Is that where it's at? Where it says you've been transformed into the kingdom of His dear Son, out of darkness into the light of the kingdom of His dear Son. We've been transferred out of one government, Colossians. Okay, let's look at that. I forgot to write that one down. I knew it was either Philippians or Colossians. Okay. This is Colossians 1:13. The Father has delivered and drawn us to Himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, which means the forgiveness of our sins. So we've been transferred out from under one government into another one, the kingdom of God. Okay, now look with me to Luke 18. Verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God only. You know the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not witness falsely, honor your father and your mother. He replied, all these I have kept from my youth. And when Jesus heard it, he said to him, one thing you still lack, sell everything that you have and divide among the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come back, follow me. But when he heard this, he became distressed and very sorrowful, for he was rich, exceedingly so. Jesus, observing him, said, how difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to enter through a needle's eye than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, then who can be saved? And he said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And then Peter goes on to say, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. So the rich young ruler that day, he was under the other government. And he could not understand how, by giving up everything, you know, he was ingrained in the system. He couldn't let it go. But Jesus is talking about walking by this new government is where impossibilities become possibilities. impossibilities become possibilities. Okay? All right. This comes into, let's see, verse, let me read 36 and I'll say that. 36. And Jesus, and hearing it, well, that's not right. Why did I write that down? Sorry, it's John 18, 36. Need to pay attention to what I wrote here. 18:36. Jesus answered, this is Pilate. Pilate said, am I a Jew? Your own people and nation and their chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom, kingship, royal power, belongs not to this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would have been fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. It's different. His way is different. Now remember, and I've told this many times, but I'll tell it again. When I flew to Ohio that time, I was looking out the window of the plane, and the Lord said, I never meant for all the things that are going on in the earth, the transportation industry, whatever industry you can think about, I never meant for it to fall into the hands of the world or the unbelievers. All of it was meant for the church. All of it. He meant for us to occupy, take it. It's not his fault it's fallen into the hands because he's given the earth to man. We've got an earth lease. We're told to occupy till he comes. We were the ones given the power and ability to take the land, but we haven't. So what happened? The devil moved in and took what belongs to us. We got to get it back. All right, Acts 14. Is this making sense to y'all? Spiritual sense. 14:19. But some Jews arrived there from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the people and won them over, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the town, thinking that he was dead. But the disciples formed a circle about him, and he got up and went back into the town. And on the morrow, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the good news to that town and made disciples of many of the people, they went back to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, establishing and strengthening the souls and the hearts of the disciples, urging and warning and encouraging them to stand firm in the faith that it is through many hardships and tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Matthew 11:12, the kingdom of God surfeiteth violence and the violent take it by force. Why? Satan's overrun the world. So it's going completely against the grain of things for us, as the king, those of the kingdom of God, ambassadors of Christ, to begin to take the light into the darkness. Taking the kingdom for his sake. The new birth transfers. See, they're being transferred out of this government into this government. This is the goal. This is Revelation 11. Eventually, Jesus is going to come, and he is going to level. In fact, it says that the mountains are going to flee. It's going to be, it's like he's taking the arm of God's going like this, raking everything off. Kingdoms of this world are being raked off. 11:15. And the seventh angel then blew his trumpet, and there were mighty voices in heaven shouting, the dominion, kingdom, sovereignty, rule of the world has now come into the possession and become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ the Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever for the eternity of the eternities. So why does he have us pray the Lord's Prayer? His kingdom come, his will be done. In anything you can think of, your body, your finances, your kids, your state, your city, your school, your job, government, the church. And it's in, not on. In earth is the proper translation. In earth, as it is in heaven, not on earth, but in earth as it is in heaven. That's the complete cycle. Okay, let's have a couple more here. Luke 14. See, when we get fine-tuned where we're walking in the Spirit and following the Holy Spirit, it just graduates from there. It infiltrates everything in our life. It helps us to follow whatever land God has given us to occupy. Wherever the Spirit influence that we are sent to. 14:16. Jesus said to him, a man was once given a great supper and invited many, and at the hour for the supper he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for all is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses and to beg off. The first one said to him, I have bought a piece of land and I have to go out and see to it. I beg you, have me excused. You know what how the Lord started this morning about? There'll be those that are being called, but they'll make excuse and they won't come. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to examine and put my approval on them. I beg you, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and because of this I'm unable to come. So the servants came and reported these to the master. Then the master of the house said in wrath to his servant, go quickly into the great streets and the small streets of the city, and bring in here the poor and the disabled and the blind and the lame. And the spirit returning said, sir, what you have commanded me to do has been done, yet there's room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and urge and constrain them to yield and come in so that my house may be full. For I tell you, not one of those who were invited shall taste my supper. See, Jesus wants all. He's invited everybody that he could find. The servants have invited everybody that they could find. He's talking about the end. Some come. Some won't. The Lord's just telling me don't be disappointed, because sometimes it just seems obvious to you that certain ones would get it and they don't get it. But it doesn't really matter if the Lord, you know, the Lord knows who's coming. He knows it all. He knows who will, who won't. Take the land for the kingdom of God. A day is coming when all you see will be burned up. That's Revelation 21 and 22. Talks about the end. Where there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. His kingdom will be established. But if we can do it in the little things, the things that affect our lives, if we'll be faithful in that, the Lord will increase us. See, when you get faithful in that little bit that you've got and you're keeping it in line, you're walking in the Spirit, you're not giving into the flesh, then you grow stronger and then God will give you more. You'll take more land for the kingdom of God, because the government of heaven needs to be on this earth. That's the point of all of this. It's going to be eventually when Jesus comes, but he wanted it to be here. That's why he put him in the garden and said, take dominion. Fill the earth. He didn't mean stay in the garden. He said, fill the earth. Who's supposed to be occupying the whole earth today? We are. You are. Okay. This is a word. Go ahead and stop that, even though this goes with it. We're going to put this on the prophet's corner.